Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing Millennial Ben. Presented by Breaks Plus. And this one comes in from Baseball Paul, who asks, Mark, I noticed Trevor Story hit two home runs yesterday. Do you think he's going to be traded?
I think what it just entices other teams, like it just increases the value of Trevor Story. Not like his value had dropped, although he did have the injury, spent some time on the IL and all that kind of stuff. But when you see, like yesterday, Mike, he made a play in the field that's a hard play, like a hard play going hard to his right, backhanding a hard hit line drive and then just spinning and making a throw. And it was just money. And it was one of those hits that was, I don't know what they call that, where you're actually taking away hits. I know they have a metric. They have a metric for everything in baseball. But it defensively, it was tremendous. And then to watch him hit the one home run he hit, I mean, it got out down the left field line. It got out. He hit it 110 miles an hour off the bat. It was phenomenal. So, yeah, I think he just is increasing his value right now with the way he's playing, and it's inevitable that he'll be gone.
How do you think this fan base will react to that? Because you're right, he's gone. There's just no way. And if you're Trevor Story, do you want to stay?
I think if you're Trevor Story, you're looking to leave. You know, I mean, I think that's the way it is. You see the writing on the wall. And listen, how do I think the fan base is going to react? They're apathetic. Like, they'll be like, oh, that's too bad. Well, let's go down to the ballpark and enjoy the sunshine and enjoy, you know, the Rockies on a homestand. And, like, I just don't think, like, is there anything that makes you feel like any move they make is just going to start, like, this final, like, we're going to put our flag in the ground and say there's no way we're going to support this team anymore and I'm not coming to the ballpark anymore? It's never happened, Mike. People love going down to Coors, and rightfully so. It's a beautiful facility. You know, you've marketed the ballpark as the star, as you always say. You're 100% right. I don't think that this fan base will hold the public trust that is the Rockies accountable.
You're right.
I just don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. And even though you could lose two. Even though you will lose two All-Stars, two potential Hall of Famers in the span of just a few months, mm-hmm. This fan base will forgive.
Sure. It's what they do. So, you know, and they'll keep going to the ballpark, and, you know, it's going to be fun to see, you know, how some of these young Tapia-type players and Daza and all the guys that are actually performing well, even Rodgers, who's come up. He's been up and down over the course of his career, very high draft pick. He's actually playing really well right now. And he's, you know, kind of solved his issues at the dish that he had the first month that he was called up, and he's playing great. McMahon is a fun, you know, he's a fun story, all different places that he can play. So, you know, I mean, You're selling youth. You're selling optimism. You're selling, hey, we're gonna get, you know, another. We're gonna get more prospects, and we're just gonna rebuild this team. It's not like the Denver Broncos, where people are furious or upset with mediocrity. They're not. It's almost like you expect mediocrity, and anything that goes above and beyond that is like gravy. You know, I mean, it's just like, hey, we're better than mediocre. Great. That's awesome. Let's go back down to the ballpark again. Mediocre. Great. Let's have some peanuts and Cracker Jacks and go enjoy some sunshine.
Well,
and a beer.
I just hope, you know, because after the Nolan deal, Dick Monfort came out and said he still thinks that this was
this is a competitive team that would compete this year, which we knew it was a joke then.
Uh-huh.
We laughed at it then. We rolled our eyes then, and we do the same thing now. But I would just hope that when, because it is when, they trade Trevor Story sometime within the next month, just come out and say, look, folks, here's where we're at, okay? We're rebuilding. And it is our hope that the haul that we got for Trevor Story, hopefully it is a haul, is one that we are going to use to build back the next, you know, really competitive Broncos, Rockies team. We already have some nice pieces in place, and, you know, we're really hopeful for the future. We hope you buy in. In the meanwhile, you know, in the meantime, continue to support us. Come on down. Enjoy a great day at the ballpark. I would just hope that they would be honest with us, you know?
Yeah, I think that time is approaching, Mike. I think that will eventually happen. So, you know, we will see. We'll just kind of sit back and see exactly how they approach this deal. But I think that time is approaching. So, honestly, like, I've always felt that way about the Broncos as well, as opposed to retooling. Hey, man, we're in a rebuilding mode, and we've got to do some, we've got to make some hard decisions, and we've got to decide which direction we want to go in. You know, we recognize we're not one player away from winning a world championship. We've got to be better. I don't suppose that you have to go through the whole litany of issues, right? I don't think the fan base needs you to list all your failures and all your mistakes, right? And say, okay, we did this and this didn't turn out. And we did it. I just think the admission of, hey guys, you know, we've made some mistakes in the past. We're going to work hard to rectify those mistakes. We're committed to growing a bunch of young players. And you know, when you look at teams, Mike, that do it that way, when you look at Tampa, when you look at some of these teams that just do on almost no salary, right? They just draft, develop. They've got an organizational system in place where all levels of that system are working in unison with one another. And you'd be surprised at how that doesn't operate in baseball that way, where the minor leagues are almost their own separate entity. And they don't have any kind of affiliation almost with the big league team. And I just think that that's a really poor way to develop talent and develop a roster. You have to have a philosophical approach to what you're doing in baseball. And I've seen it through my son's career, how, you know, you go from level to level, and pitching coaches and organizations at every level, they're in the same organization, you know, the same group of the same team, in all these different levels, but they're all teaching different things.
So quick reaction on the RamosLive.com text line. Still haven't been to or watched a Rockies game. Won't till there is new owner. Let's see. I know, I hate to admit when stink is right. I know plenty of fans that have boycotted and will continue to not give any money to Dick Montfort. Yes, I will be, of course, for the All-Star Week festivities.
Yeah.
Let's see. Our guy Zach Bye is catching some flack. He's been Jared in Commerce City. People continue to be the Zach Byes of the world. Still going down to the ballpark. My wife and I are continuing the boycott. We won't buy tickets to go anymore. Ownership is a joke. David writes in, Zach Bye is a perfect example of how forgiving the Rockies fan base is. He was foaming at the mouth the day the Nolan news conference happened. 1 month later, he has a hot dog and a Rockies flag. He has posted some pictures of himself at the game.
I know him and Stoker going down for a game together or something. I heard them talking. Was it yesterday or day before where they're going down to, you know, they're going to, it's going to be like a scene from, Step Brothers, you know, where they're going to be wearing, masks, Chewbacca masks and doing karate, in the parking lot before they walk in.
I, let me defend my guy Zach, okay? He's got a young son who I'm sure he wants to, you know, share and grow the game of baseball with, right? What father wouldn't want that connection with his son? So to me, my view of this season was simple. That if you are somebody that is upset with what the Rockies have done, don't let your, you know, young son or daughter who's interested in baseball, don't punish them by not allowing them to enjoy baseball. And don't punish yourself if you're somebody that loves going to the ballpark every once in a while. Don't punish yourself. But my rule is very simple. Normally, I would probably go to about 7 to 10 games a year.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my own little form of protest, I'm cutting that in half. And you know, I'm still going to go to some games because my son's 14 years old and loves baseball. Why am I going to rob him of that experience?
Right.
I want him to continue to enjoy the experience of going to baseball. So am I going to do a full boycott? No. So, but I probably won't be posting pictures with a hot dog and a Rockies
flag. Hey, listen.
Besides, that hot dog, that's not going to last long enough for a picture to be taken anyway.
Yeah, you're not going to get all the way back down to the stands with that hot dog. It's going to be, you're going to demolish that before you get down there. Hey, I mean, I love baseball. I watched the whole game yesterday. Like, I love baseball. And so I'm going to support the Rockies. The Rockies have been really good to me. I love the Rockies. I don't necessarily love the moves they've made. I think there's some big time changes on the horizon that are going to come through, and I'm excited about some of those things that are going to happen. So, you know, they've already let go of Dr. Breidich, and some other things are going to happen here in the near future that are exciting to me. So,
Matt Slareth, what a fan.
So, you know, we'll see exactly how it pans out. But there are going to be some wholesale changes and some organizational changes that I think are for the better. So I'm going to hold out hope that they understand the rebuilding process and they're going to get it fixed here eventually.
So we're still down to our final 45 minutes for you to be able to donate, for the fan match challenge going on later today. And we would love it if you would donate, just first of all, because it's a great cause. We're raising funds for the First Tee Green Valley Ranch, helping underprivileged youth in our community to learn life skills through golf. But it's a source of pride for us that we are the show that raises the most funds. We did it last year, and then we showed our thanks by going on and winning the whole thing. And we're looking to go back to back. And all I can think is, you know, we entered today last among the four shows, which really stunned me. It was a slap in the face. And I can only think there's two reasons why this is happening. One, it's the constant smear and whine campaign of the other shows.
Right.
Trying to take us down. And secondly, I think that there's an element of people tend to root against greatness. You know, it's why do so many people root against Duke? Why do so many people root against the Yankees?
Right,
why
do
so many people root against the Patriots? So people like those young, you know, those fresh underdog, you know, rags to riches type story, you know, and so, you know, the other shows have been able to kind of build themselves up as the soft fuzzy underdogs, you know, like Stokely and Zach, they're the Browns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Look how talented we are. Woohoo. You know, we don't know how to win, but look.
Yeah, we're not the factory of sadness anymore.
Yeah, everybody gets excited. Yeah. You know, buys a Browns jersey. I get it.
You know, and Zach and Tyler and D-Mac, they're like the Bills. You know, look at us. You know, the cute drive mafia. You know, like look at us jumping.
Yeah, watch us break a table.
Yeah.
Although I don't know that D-Mac anymore could break a table.
Good point.
Like he would just bounce right off the top of it.
Good point.
It'd be like a rubber. It'd be like one of them rubber bowls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I'm with you. But you know what? Our listeners have stepped up. I mean, Mickey donated $500 just so that he could text me.
Has he texted you yet, by the way?
No, he has not texted me.
Showing restraint. Trust me.
It's
killing him right now.
Oh, he's probably got him in queue.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, 7 or 8 texts in queue. As soon as we get off air, I'm going to get bombarded.
Yeah.
Got to thank my folks at Newton Running as well. Newton Running, I'm building a big man shoe for them, which that we've worked together for the last year on. It's going to be really cool that when it gets released here in August or so. But they donated $1,000 to the charity.
Done. Well done.
And in our names, Mike. So I think it's only a matter of like you said, 45 minutes or so before we take over and we win once again, not only the donation portion of the match, but then we just go out and handle our business.
Are you feeling good, by the way? I know the back was a little cranky earlier in the week. Are we okay?
No. I'm gonna be fine. I tweaked it a little bit, but I am recovering. Let's just say that. So it's going to keep me swinging free and easy today. That's going to be the key, Mike.
This from a texter, the Patriots. I think you guys are the Paxton Lynch of radio, immature and unprepared. That's good. Take a shot at us by continuing the smear campaign. Well
right.
done.
Yeah.
Well
is,
done.
That is immature. I'll give you that. I'll give you immature.
Oh, we are immature. I freely acknowledge that.
Yeah, I don't ever want to grow up.
No.
Unprepared?
No, that's wrong.
That is incorrect.
Yeah. Immature, I'll wear that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Diabetes.
Yeah, we're immature.
Unprepared, though, that's not even close.
No. Immature? Yeah. Proud of it.
Yeah.
Hope that never changes.
Right. I mean, for crying out loud. If I have to grow up at some point, Mike, it's just going to be a really depressing time in my life.
Right? I'm with you. I'm totally with you. No, I like fart jokes.
Right.
You know?
Hey, that's why I got married. She can be the adult.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You be the adult. You do all the adult stuff, and let me. I'm sure most people. I don't want to speak for most people, but I'm sure there is a very large percentage of families that operate like our family does, right? Like, mom is the heavy. Mom is the one that that basically sets all the standards and the rules, and dad's the happy action fun guy, right? I mean, I come in and I have the fun and she's the heavy. So, I would imagine it works that way in a lot of marriages, right?
All right. So your one nemesis, Mickey, stepped up and donated $500.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Your other nemesis, Shaner.
Oh, Shaner.
He just texted in, says, I will donate, hold on a second, I will donate $1,000 if you read the text that I just sent in and give me 60 seconds on the air to destroy Stinker and his waffling and old antiquated football philosophy. Doesn't have to be today. Pick a day before training camp. I get 60 seconds to speak, then I will hang up and listen to him choke as I take over his island.
This is going to be like stealing. It's so easy. Yes, I'm in. It's got to come in.
Yeah, it's got to come in.
It's got the donation has to happen within the next couple of, let's just say in the next 4 minutes or 30 minutes, right?
Yes.
Say so we've got to get, and then send, do you text with Shaner too?
I don't, but, he can easily send a screenshot showing that he has, fulfilled his end of the bargain, and then we'll fulfill our end.
Yeah, we will give him some time, in the next week or so to come on and quote unquote destroy me with his vast football knowledge. Yeah, I look forward to being educated.
All right,
by Shaner.
Let me read one of his texts.
Okay.
Hey, stink bomb.
Yeah.
If Green Bay's roster's so good, why have you bashed them as an organization for not putting talent around A-Ron? Waffle, waffle, waffle. Pound your chest saying it's wrong for drafting wide receivers in the first round. Then say Green Bay's never drafted a wide receiver in the first round, so they suck.
Green Bay doesn't suck. They went to the NFC Championship 2 years in a row, Shaner. They don't suck. And I've been the first to tell you that I think the wide receiver is the most dependent position on all of football, which is a dependent organization and a dependent position. I'm saying the reason that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers aren't getting along is because of exactly that. The fact that Aaron Rodgers has felt like they have never honored their word or never really truly helped him with first round talent. That doesn't mean that I think it's wrong. And by the way, that roster wise, we've got an outstanding couple outstanding running backs, outstanding offensive line that they have built. This goes way deeper than Green Bay's roster. These are the reasons that Aaron Rodgers is upset. I mean, this has nothing to do with the drafting of wide receivers. I mean, I have not waffled at all in my philosophy towards football. Have I ever waffled on what I believe wins games?
No.
Physically dominating people on both lines of scrimmage. That wins games.
But you still, though, do admit that the quarterback is still the most important position in football.
Of course
it is. That if you don't have the quarterback, then are you the Vikings?
If you don't have
good team, good roster building, good philosophy, good track record. You know, they found a number of guys in the second, third, fourth round, all that.
Correct.
But, and they've been a good, solid franchise with, what, six, 10-plus win seasons, six playoff appearances in the last 12 years, but only one NFC championship game and no Super Bowl appearances.
Right.
So it's...
And you've gone to the playoffs six times with, I believe, you may have six different quarterbacks that have taken you there. But, you know, again, Mike, it's one of those situations. You know, you go back to Joe Gibbs back in the day, and I know the game has changed to some degree, but he won three world championships with three different quarterbacks. He won one with Theismann, he won one with Doug Williams, and he won one with Mark Rippon. And so I know philosophically that it can be done. I know it's an outlier. The problem that Shaner and everybody else believes is if you just draft a quarterback, it's the DMAC theory of quarterback. If you just draft one, he's a magic elixir. He covers all your warts. And that's not true. Most quarterbacks expose warts. And all you have to know is look at all the elite quarterback, the elite level kind of quote unquote throwers of the football that haven't won in this league. There's so much more to it than just having a quarterback. And that's, you know, that's all I try every day to help you guys understand how much more the game is than just quarterback. And
okay.
I know that just the quarterback thing is an oversimplification, but, there is a lot more to it than that.
Can you find me a team that made the playoffs last year that had a great quarterback and an average, I won't even say below average, but average roster?
Okay, team that made the playoffs.
That had great quarterback play that elevated an average roster to the playoffs. Okay, here are your playoff teams from a year ago. AFC, uh-huh. Kansas City, Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh. Again, we're looking at playoff teams that had great quarterback play that lifted an average roster. Tennessee, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indy. Any there?
No.
All good rosters?
All good rosters.
All right. NFC, Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle. I can't even count Washington. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, Rams, Bears.
I would venture to guess, Mike, the only team on there that basically their roster has been depleted to a degree and they rely solely on great quarterback play is Seattle.
Oh, okay.
They got dominated by
Mr. Unlimited.
You know, they got dominated by a backup quarterback, and then Jared Goff came in 11 days after thumb surgery, and they just bludgeoned them. Their roster, the Rams roster, bludgeoned them on both lines of scrimmage, and Seattle just was overwhelmed simply on the roster of the Rams versus the roster of Seattle. But I think one of that, what is it, 14 playoff teams, one that was questionable roster-wise.
So only one roster out of 14 where you can argue, hey, listen, not that great of a team, but, man, you had a quarterback that just elevated. One out of 14. Okay. All right. Some fresh news coming in on Deshaun Watson and how long he might be sitting in. Now, I want to correct something I said earlier. With the civil suits that he is facing, mm-hmm. he would not be looking at jail time. Okay, I raised the possibility that, you know, that he could be looking at jail time. Civil suits, we'd be looking at not jail time.
Right, but they could turn into criminal. I mean,
as of right now,
right.
That's what we're looking at. All right, we'll hear from John Clayton. Still 30 minutes left. For you to donate, denverfan.com/match. And all joking aside, we greatly, greatly appreciate everybody has donated. Even if you haven't donated in our name, keep it coming. Thank you. And John Clayton next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
John Clayton is our senior Broncos writer at denverfan.com. He joins us now, and John, it was with a great interest that I read your latest piece here at denverfan.com, and perhaps you can expand upon the very real possibility that Deshaun Watson could be missing multiple seasons.
Yeah, and this comes from Ben Waller from the Fox Sports Radio, and he comes up with some really good points. And what it comes down to is that what you're looking at for Watson is that he's not going to be deposed until February 22nd of next year. He's not going to have a trial until the earliest maybe May of next year, and that could, with the 22 cases, last all the way till July. All right. So one of the things that the NFL doesn't like to do is go ahead and try to make too many rash decisions on a final case when they don't know the guilt, whether he's going to be guilty or innocent. And so it's like that very well puts him in a position where this year you can think the possibility, at least Ben says, that they can put him on the commissioner exempt list. Now, he goes on a commissioner's exempt list. I mean, he could stay there the whole season and collect his entire salary, which I'm sure that he might consider unless he wants to go back to Houston. And then, of course, next year, because, again, the league doesn't have any back type of if you get a suspension or anything like that, you don't have any kind of a back thing that you can go to. So, I mean, he very well can be suspended into next year. But I think there's now a growing chance that he could miss this season and still get paid, which on the exempt list can happen.
Yeah. What if all of a sudden, like in the next couple of weeks or whatever, he ends up settling all these lawsuits and they all go away? Even with that, wouldn't you speculate there's still going to be some type of punitive damage? Then the legal go into their kind of investigation and some type of punishment still that is yet to be determined?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's no way he can get out of 22 cases. And again, getting 22 cases scheduled is going to be really impossible. But again, if he could, fine. But at the very end, I mean, you look at the past. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger didn't get charged in any kind of an illegal type of thing with a girl that he had in Georgia back in 2011, but he got a 6-game suspension that they shortened to 4. Ezekiel Elliott had a problem with a girl, and he got a 6-game suspension. So I think at the very least, what you're looking at is going to be 6 games. But when you're talking 22 people, then that's almost going to be more than 6 games. But at the very least, you have to think he's going to get a 6-game suspension if he can settle these suits. And right now, the attorney says he's not trying to settle any of these suits.
as you look at George Payton, we've been having this discussion in the last couple of days, John, and it seems like we're starting, the pendulum has kind of swung the other way, that after a lot of early favorable impressions about what Payton did, it's going the other way. We're hearing more from folks who say that, you know, first of all, he failed in not drafting a quarterback when he had such a great opportunity to do so in Justin Fields, and the idea that all he's really done is just kind of come in and extended the John Elway model rather than coming in and truly putting his own imprint on the franchise. Do you agree with any of that?
I 100% disagree because, I mean, look at what he's been able to do. I mean, first off, he did get a slight upgrade as far as competition because what he didn't want to do is totally wash out Drew Locke, right? He still thinks there's a good talent there, all those different things, and he didn't want to replace him with a quarterback this year. Okay, secondly, I mean, he's fixed up the defense. That was so important. The defense gave up 27.9 points a game and was 21st in yards allowed. All right, so now what's he do? I mean, he comes in, he gets two cornerbacks in free agency and Patrick Surtain, so now they're the he was able to, you know, cut Kareem Jackson and get him back, and now they have probably the best secondary in the NFL. Then, you know, you got the receiving core with Cortland Sutton back, and they've got, according to Pro Football Focus, the sixth best wide receiver group. Then you look at running back. Okay, sure, they had Melvin Gordon. Now, you know, they add Javonte Williams. You know, they add Mike Boone at the backfield, and as far as just being a good backup and special teams player. And so now they're one of the deeper running back groups in the league. So I couldn't disagree more. I mean, again, plus they're in a position where, you know, what's the one team that can, if they're going to trade eventually Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay to get him, and that's going to be the Denver Broncos. I mean, I'm 100% disagreeing with any criticism of George Payton in that sense, because at this stage, I mean, he's now got a defense that he's fixed up that now could be one of the better, one of the top 10 defenses in the league, and on offense, they're in pretty good shape as far as pass catchers.
You know, you are one of the most connected people I know in this league. So any new news on the Aaron Rodgers front and what will happen with him in Green Bay?
It's gonna go all the way till probably into the regular season because, again, he doesn't want to go back. He doesn't want to be a Packer. He's mad at management. I mean, you saw the comment that Mark Murphy made, the president of the team, about two weeks ago, where he said that it's like, well, you know, Ted Thompson used to tell me he's a complicated fella. And what was the response by Aaron Rodgers? He goes on the promotion that he has for the charity event in July with Tom Brady golf and Phil Mickelson and that. And he says, I'm offended. Okay, so you can see he's still mad at management, and he's getting madder at management. And you're talking about a complicated fella, as he is, that you know, even turns off family members when necessary. So I still think it holds on, but there's nothing that's going to be new, you know, other than maybe some comments made by the Packers and his reaction to it. But no, there's nothing new because, again, this is going to be a waiting game, but the waiting game, I think, is going to leave the Packers dry.
All right, John, always appreciate the insight and the input. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there goes John Clayton.
Hello, I'm done with my segment.
All right, John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer at DenverFan.com. That's interesting stuff involving Deshaun Watson, the possibility of 2 years out. And you know, when you start breaking it down, and if he is not going to settle, and as John says, as of right now, his attorney says he will not, then you're talking about the gears of justice rolling slowly here. He's not going to be deposed until February 22nd, 2022. And then you're talking about trials that wouldn't start until May of 2022. So if this is going to be one of those things that these cases go through and they're not settled, you're right. This thing is going to drag on for quite a long time.
Yeah, it'll be like, hey, we can either get Aaron Rodgers now at 37 or 38, or we can wait till Deshaun Watson's 35 and he's eligible to play again.
Right.
It is, yeah, the uncertainty of his career and where he is right now. And I would not at all be surprised. You know, I mean, you always kind of puff out your chest and you have your game where we're not settling and we're not doing this. And then all of a sudden those things can change. I just don't see any, I really don't see any quick resolution to the Deshaun Watson situation. Even if you get all 22 cases to settle, Mike, the NFL is going to come with a heavy hand, and there's going to be punitive damages based upon your actions and based upon what's gone on and the fact that you besmirched the league to some degree. So, yeah, I mean, I just don't see this thing ending anytime soon.
If he settles,
uh-huh.
And there is some sort of suspension, but it's, you know, 4-6 games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's deemed eligible to play. Do you want your team, do you want the Broncos to go after this guy? You know, for many people, you know, you settle. Right. It's basically an admission of guilt.
Yeah, I think there is so much talent there, Mike, that most organizations will say, hey, listen, you know, this guy he's settled, but he made some mistakes. He's admitted those mistakes. He's, you know, paid whatever debt he has to pay. And, you know, the talent is so exceptional that we're going to be part of the rehabilitation program, if you will.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's how you sell it. And I think there may be a couple of teams in the league that wouldn't give him that opportunity, but those teams are already set at quarterback.
Right.
Like the Chargers would be like, there was no way we would let that, you know, right. There's no way we would have him play for you know, and the Chiefs and a couple other organizations that would, you know, pound that drum, so to speak. But, the other 28 organizations, they'd all be like, yep, we're in.
Yep. Okay. Coming up next. We're going to tell you why Mark and I are the New England Patriots of the fan. That's next. All right, last few minutes here before we head off to Green Valley Ranch for the Fan Golf Challenge as we look to defend our title. Mark, just a couple of minutes left for our great listeners to step up to the plate, whatever amount that they can donate. We greatly appreciate it, but last push to make sure that we, the defending champs, are the show that raises the most money.
Yeah, I know. You know, going into this morning, we were in last place.
I know.
Four shows, we were fourth place. And I, you know, I've got to believe that we have bounced up to the top after this morning show. But bottom line is I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that we rolled in fourth place, Mike.
Well, I think what we're seeing here, what we've seen throughout all this is people root against greatness. You know, we've become...
That's a good point.
We've become the Yankees. We've become Duke.
Mm.
We've become the Patriots.
That's right. That, you know what? You're right. You're 100% right. People just want to see us fall.
Right.
They don't like the greatness. They don't like the consistency. They're looking at us and going, is there a Deflategate issue going on here? Spygate. How are
right.
they doing this?
Right.
How
right.
are they doing it?
How are they doing this?
And all's we just are continuing to execute. We're just better than you.
Hey, Belichick, what do you think?
Great question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing, and you know, face it, people like rooting for the underdog, soft, fuzzy underdog. And so, you know, if we're the Patriots, Stokely and Zach, they're the Browns.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
The Drive, they're the Bills. You know, lovable losers for a long time.
Right.
You know,
right.
And finally starting to kind of flex a little bit. And so, you know, people are jumping on their bandwagon.
Right. Feeling their oats a little bit for 20 years. They're the lovable losers, the Browns, right? The factory of sadness. I see it. You know, everybody's excited. I get it. But in the end, let's make the push.
In the end, I would like to think that people want to get behind a winner. People like riding a winner. So, last few minutes. For you to donate any amount, and we joke, but it all goes to
The first tee, Green Valley Ranch, to help underprivileged kids learn the great game of golf and tackle some of the issues that they may be dealing with. Go to denverfan.com/match and make those final donations and push us over the top. So we just got done talking with John Clayton, and the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, will he, won't he, will the Packers do it, will he? Devontae Adams, we talked about this during Four Down Territory, saying that when the Packers are together working out, they're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. Do you believe that? That they're not talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation behind closed doors, in the locker room? You believe that?
No. Do I think they're talking about it? Absolutely. Do I think they're talking about why they're working out? No. I mean, they're not on the field, you know, catching passes from Jordan Love and talking about Aaron Rodgers. They're out there working. They're trying to get their stuff done, right? But, you know, I think behind closed doors, when they're not actually lifting and running and doing the things that they do to get themselves ready for the season, are they talking about Aaron Rodgers? Absolutely. I mean, how can you not? Like, how can you not talk about that? How can you not talk about your organization? What are we doing? Seriously, how can you not look at that and go, what are we doing? And I mean, I just know from the experience of not living through an Aaron Rodgers thing, but through the Dale Carter situation. Well, we're sitting in the locker room going, wait, whoa, we signed Dale Carter, I mean, I'm the highest paid guy on our team, and we're going to let Steve Atwater go to the Jets? How is Steve Atwater finishing his career as a Jet? How does that happen?
Well, you think about the things that can unravel,
right,
a great team, or, you know, in your case, a mini dynasty. I mean, you think about the moves that I'm sure Mike Shanahan goes back and looks at it and is like, geez, what was I thinking? But, you know, you're right. You're in the moment. You're consumed with winning. You think that you can bring a guy in and he'll be different. Whatever he may have done in the past, it'll be different here, that kind of thing. And you look back on, you're like, wow, if only I could have that one over. If only I could have a mulligan.
Huh? I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Yeah. And when we do end up finishing with the show with the most money raised, we will get two mulligans. Not that we'll need them. Maybe we'll, I don't know, be charitable and give them to Sandy in Orlando. They could probably use them, right?
No, I'm going to keep if I get
Let
them,
it
keep
go,
them.
Man.
But, yeah, I'm going to keep them.
Keep them?
Yeah. Just, maybe I'll treat them like Vic Fangio at the time. I'll keep them. I just won't
there
use them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ah, touche. Touche, Mark Schlereth. Touche. Yeah, so we're looking forward to it. It should be a fun day of golf out there and good banter. You know, we all get along. We got a tight-knit group here at The Fan, and all the shows get along. All the guys get along. All the ladies involved, Kendall will be out there at Green Valley Ranch. We're going to be broadcasting throughout the day, by the way. So, and we'll be out there at Green Valley Ranch with, all of our, other hosts, filling in. So we'll get to updates from the course and all of that. So how's the back feeling? That's my big question. Are you ready to, carry the load, big fella? I need some of those 350 yard drives of yours.
Yeah, I've got to swing within myself today.
Oh, really? We're going to stay within ourselves.
We're going to stay within ourselves, and we're just going to go. We're just going to plod along, man. It's just, it's consistency. Execution and consistency, Mike. That's going to win the day.
Yeah, you know what? Last year, I was really kind of hyped up for this, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I think now being a champion, you know, I just kind of, been there, done that, you know, act like you've been there. I feel like a champion right now. You know, I'm ready to go out and do this again. No fanfare, no extra hype. Let's just go and let's do what we do and win.
Just defend our championship.
Defend our championship.
It's pretty simple.
All right, we are done. Thank you so much, Millennial Ben. Great job behind the glass. Hey, who do we got coming up, by the way? Do you know who we have coming up? We got CJ and James. Wow. Getting ready for a great day of golf. Beautiful day out here at Green Valley Ranch, I'm sure. And James will probably find a way. There'll probably just be a dark cloud just over James. You know, it'll be a beautiful, sunny, blue sky, and it'll just be one cloud over James Marilat. All right, James and CJ coming up next. We'll talk to you again from the course as we get ready to defend our crown right here. Fan Golf Challenge, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.